Our scripture reading tonight is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except for the Father. And no one knows the Father except for the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you that you use your word to speak love and life to our hearts. And God, we pray that you would do that tonight. That this very same Holy Spirit that lives in us is the Spirit who inspired the Scriptures. So bring your word alive in us and through us tonight, that we might be a changed people because you've spoken into our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of these verses are very, very familiar. We have heard the invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." It's interesting to me how Matthew starts this little passage of scripture with Jesus saying that he's so thankful. He thanks his Father for the way the kingdom works. It's so upside down from the way we expect it to work that he takes people who think they're wise and know it all, people who have power and prestige, and instead he focuses it all on the children, on the people who have nothing, on the people who the world considers foolish. It's just such a reminder to me that God is a God of revelation. God is a God who reveals himself. And now you can get crazy with this passage and think like it doesn't matter, your intellect and your mind and wisdom doesn't matter at all. And that would be totally false, because God is absolutely concerned with our minds and with the way we think. God's promise to us is wisdom, his wisdom. Paul tells us we have the mind of Christ, and he reminds us as well to stop being conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So God is very much concerned with our minds. And sometimes we think we come to church, we're supposed to check our mind at the door, our brain at the door, and that is absolutely not how God created us to be. But we're reminded as well that we don't simply discover God intellectually. Jesus said to Nicodemus, this kind of jaw-dropping statement, if we listen to it, he says, unless a person is born again, they can't even see the kingdom of God. So we can't just reach God with our intellect. We just can't reach him with our emotions. We can't just reach him with our heart, even though all those things are really important. We need as well for God by his Spirit to reveal himself to us, that we might be born anew into the kingdom of God. And I just love that reminder that we see all throughout the scriptures that God does not work the way we think he should work. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And then he reminds us as well that he's a God who invites. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." And I think he meant a whole lot of things by that, but I think as well that he may have been talking to disciples of the Pharisees who were weary and heavy laden, because the Pharisees had taken God's law and they just added so many conditions to it. Jesus talks about the Pharisees just creating these heavy loads and putting them on people's back. There are some Jewish scholars who think that the Pharisees added 600 different laws for how you could break the Sabbath or what you shouldn't do on the Sabbath. It was heavy. It was burdensome to try to be righteous, to try to follow the law, to try to get God's approval, if you will. And Jesus was speaking to those people who were just worn out by trying to be religious, if you will. Come to me. I think he says the same thing to us today because it's so easy for us to become like Pharisees. As a matter of fact, I frequently refer to myself as a recovering Pharisee because we want righteousness to be about we did the right things. We want favor with God to mean that we really earned it, that we were good enough. Sometimes we live our whole Christian life just looking to get stars on our star chart. I spent so many years of my Christian life going, God, look at me, I'm a good girl, look at me. That's exhausting. And that's one of the things that's so freeing about Jesus is that we can stop pretending to be something we're not. It's something that I am so thankful to those of you here who are here on Thursday nights because you help us provide a place where we can stop pretending. Where we know that we don't have it all together. We know that our families aren't perfect. Our marriages aren't perfect. We're not these plastic, cookie-cutter, perfect Christian people. We're messy, broken, fragile human beings who have been rescued by the amazing grace that we find in Jesus Christ. And then God fills us with his Spirit, and then he starts this beautiful work of transformation, of sanctifying us, of making us look like his Son. And all of a sudden, it becomes about him and not so much about us. That's Jesus' invitation to these people. That's, I believe, his invitation to us. Just come. Come to me. But then he says this really interesting thing. He says, take my yoke upon you. And I'm sure many of you know that a yoke was sort of like this wooden harness thing that harnessed two oxen together and then harness them to a plow, and so they kind of worked together. And throughout the scripture, a yoke is frequently seen as sort of a sign of slavery. In Jeremiah and Isaiah, God talks about breaking the yoke of his people. It's sort of, they were slaves, they were prisoners. Paul even says in Galatians, he says, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. So don't go back to a yoke of slavery. So it has this implication, this inference, if you will. And yet Jesus says, come to me if you're tired and heavy laden and take my yoke. And again, we see this upside down kingdom of God. I always say the kingdom of God is upside down. Really, we're upside down. The kingdom of God is right side up. But to us, it always looks upside down. But here's Jesus, if we think about it, saying this really strange thing. Let me put a yoke on you if you're already tired and heavy burdened. And yet this yoke that Jesus promises us that's light, this burden that's light, this yoke that's easy, is not just this yoke of slavery, it's this being yoked, if you will, to Jesus, being yoked to him, being invited into this relationship that is so intimate, where he invites us to live a life where he lives his life in us. And again, it's this call to surrender, this call to remain in him, to abide in him like that vine and those branches. And it seems almost counterintuitive to us, and yet it's a paradox of the kingdom that in order to be really free, because that's Jesus' promise, that the Son sets you free indeed, the way to find that freedom is in surrender, is in yoking ourselves to him, joining ourselves to him. And it's easy, But it's also probably one of the hardest things to do. It's hard for us, I think, especially as Christians who live in the United States of America, right? Because we are all about being self-sufficient. I've shared with you on numerous times my struggles with wanting to be self-sufficient and independent, and how my blindness rocked that in me, that all of a sudden I couldn't be independent anymore. It probably, in all honesty, is probably the hardest thing about losing my vision was giving up some of my independence and my self-sufficiency, knowing that there are things that I cannot do for myself. I need somebody else to do them for me. We never like to be in that position. We pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps kind of people. And then Jesus says, be yoked to me, surrender it to me, that you're created to be dependent on God, and I believe we're created to be interdependent on each other, that we need each other as the body of Christ. And so it's in the surrender, it's in the saying, God, I can't do this on my own anymore, I can't carry these burdens. Would you live in me? Would your spirit lead me? It's okay to worry about it. And sometimes we don't even know how to go about doing that. And so we're tempted to read a lot of books to get 5 easy tricks or 3 great life hacks to live the Christian life. And it's what Matthew's pointing out here that strikes me so strongly. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Later on, he says, and you'll find rest for your souls. So this is what happens. We come seeking rest, and Jesus longs to give us himself. How many times in our life do we run after God because we're seeking his gifts or we're seeking his blessing? And he longs to give us himself. He doesn't just want to give us rest. He wants to be our rest. He doesn't just want to give us peace. He himself is our peace. He wants to give us himself. And we're just satisfied for a little bit, a little blessing, instead of being able to embrace the blessed one. Take my yoke upon you. Surrender, if you will, to me. Join yourself to me. And so I love the next line. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from me. It has been the most life-giving thing for me to realize that God is more than willing to teach me what I don't know. Because if I'm brutally honest with you, I do not always know how to read the scriptures. If I could write often in my Bible, I would have question mark, question mark, question mark. What are you saying, God, here? What are you doing here? And yet he invites us to let him be our teacher. Jesus says that's what the Holy Spirit was going to do. He was going to come along and he's going to teach us. We don't know how to pray. How many people are uncomfortable praying in public, and not you guys because you are good on Thursday night praying in public, but so many people are uncomfortable praying in public because they feel like they don't know how to pray. Right? And they're worried everybody's just going to judge them on their grammar or how many times they say or if their prayer makes sense or not. God will teach us how to pray as we do it. And anyone who's just done it and done it and done it again will find out, right, that God teaches us. It's like worship. We don't really know how to worship. We just sing some songs, right? We hear somebody talk. But as God fills us with his spirit, as we ask him, as we spend time with him, he teaches us. He reveals himself to us. So when you hear this, take my yoke upon me, be yoked with me, surrender your life to me, let me live my life in you, let me lead you by my spirit, abide in me, remain in me, live in me. It's okay if your first reaction is, I don't really know what that looks like. Because again, if we're brutally honest, most of us say, I've surrendered my life, right, to Jesus, and then we just, in all our own strength, in our own steam, we live our life. And then we're exhausted, and we're weary, and we're heavy laden. Because it's this surrendering, this letting go, this allowing God to have his way in us. And Jesus says, just come close to me. Just come, let me live in you, and I'll teach you. Because I think, like so many things in the Christian life, surrender is a process. You know, 5 years ago, with my whole heart, I would sing, I surrender all, right? But really what I'm singing is I'm surrendering this part of me that I'm comfortable letting you have control of. I'm surrendering this part of you that I want you to be Lord of. And then when I sing that today, I surrender all, it means more than it meant 5 years ago. And when I sing it a year from now, I hope it means even more. Because you know why? We're able to surrender as we know who God is. And this is huge. Because Jesus says early on in this passage, right, that nobody knows the Father except those who the Son has chosen to make him known to. So we get to know who God the Father is by looking at Jesus, right? That's how we know what God is like, because we see him fully in the face of his Son, because the Son is the exact representation of God's glory, right? So we think about God and all that he is, powerful. So powerful that he spoke everything we know in this universe and galaxies upon galaxies into order. He spoke it into order and he sustains it. And he holds it all in the palm of his hands. We cannot even create microscopes and telescopes that are strong enough to see into the furthest of galaxies, and God holds it in the span of his hand. He's the God who always was, who is, and who is to come. He's a God that angels and beings that would take our breath away veil their faces in his presence. He's holy, and I'm convinced we still can't even completely understand what that means. He's glorious, he's majestic, he's beautiful, right? And the Son makes him known to us. And Jesus says to us, right? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. God Almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful, God who is beyond all description, Jesus reminds us, is also gentle. Do you know what that means? He doesn't beat us into submission. He doesn't make us bow our knee to him. He reveals his goodness and his glory and his kindness and his majesty to us. And as he reveals himself to us, as we come close to him, as we surrender whatever little bit of our lives that we can surrender, he lets us see him more. And the more we see him, that he's good and his steadfast love endures forever, the more we get to understand his promises, that he is always working for our good and for his glory, that he can even take what was meant for evil and use it for good, the more he shows us that he's sure and he's trustworthy and he will not leave us or forsake us, the more we see that, the more we're able to surrender. And that's why I think surrender is a process, because we get to see the goodness of God and we trust him with a little bit of our hearts, a little bit of our lives, and we see the goodness and the faithfulness and the kindness of God. And so we trust him with a little bit more of our lives. And the cycle goes on and on and on, because he continues to always be good. And he continues to always be trustworthy. And he reminds us that surrender is not about a formula, but surrender is about a relationship. It's about allowing him to be our God, to be our Father, to lead us. I don't know if you're heavy, laden, and if you're tired and weary and beat up. I don't know if maybe you're just hearing God call you to come closer. I don't know if you just feel like you live in your own strength and you don't even know what it looks like to really be yoked with Jesus. Or you've surrendered a little bit, but you want to surrender more. But if any of those descriptions fit you, I invite you to pray with me. God, again, we're so thankful that you are God who invites us. And we're overwhelmed by the fact that you're gentle. God, we know you're powerful. We know you're majestic. And yet that you're gentle and kind, it undoes us. No wonder that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord. Thank you that you're gentle. Thank you that you call us gently and you do not beat us into submission. Thank you that you first reveal who you are to us. And then you invite us to join our hearts with yours. So God, that's what we want to do tonight. We just want to surrender however much of ourselves that we can. God, we're going to call it all of us because we think it's all of us, but we know there's more of us ourselves to surrender. But we just want to surrender to you. God, we just want to invite you into our mind and into our heart and into our lives and into our families and into our households. God, we just want to ask that you would teach us your ways, that you would speak your word to us, that you would draw us closer to your heart, that you would meet us in the places where we're wounded and broken and angry and frustrated and stressful and anxious. We invite you into places where we don't understand what's going on. We invite you into the places where we're broken. God, have your way in us. Teach us. Help us to learn from you. Help us to cling to you. Help us to remain in you. Help us to be joined to you. Teach us how to live by your Spirit, God, how to walk in the light, because without you, we do not know how to do it. And God, forgive us for looking for formulas when you are inviting us into relationship. And so we step one step deeper into our relationship with you tonight. We bring our hearts one step closer to you, God, knowing that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Have your way. Be glorified in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.